I'd like to read the book of Psalms to you. Well, okay, Psalm 119. All right, just a part of Psalm 119, the nun section. You can find this in your Bible on page 601, or you can follow along right here. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end.
Places in the world that just ask to be climbed, like Utah's Fisher Towers. Watch this man as he uses his hands and feet to search for the way up, because he can't see.
What I kind of love about climbing is there's a puzzle embedded in the rock, and you're trying to kind of unlock that code. It's really cool.
Eric Weinmeier is an adventurer, an adrenaline junkie, and a visionary.
You lean into the thing that sort of scares you, that overwhelms you, so that you can kind of get up close to it and you can experience it fully, and then it kind of loses its power over you.
The first blind climber to conquer Everest.
Maybe you remember hearing about Eric when he reached the summit of Mount Everest, a place where death was just a misstep away.
There's a 1,000-foot drop on one side. It didn't meet Americans with Disability Act standards. That's what I would start by saying.
I'm sorry, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. A little blind humor coming at you.
After years of losing his sight to a genetic disease, Eric went blind just before high school. Since then, he spent his life conquering the unconquerable, like kayaking the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon.
You're good, Hartwright.
Spotters told him when to turn through the rapids.
Yeah, as a blind person, I had to let go kind of that traditional ego, and I had to learn to let people help me and to find the right people that I could trust. And then hopefully they turn around and trust me with their life as well.
And wherein lies the truth of the most important thing Eric Weihenmayer does? It comes from the words of a team member who helped him climb Everest.
He says, like, good job. And he goes, now, do me a favor. Don't let this be the greatest thing you ever do.
So 15 years ago, Eric started No Barriers.
Sometimes you barely have to swing, just
a program that uses physical challenges to unleash personal potential. Keeping up with Eric is no easy task.
Blind people and blades aren't always a good mix.
We ice climbed in Colorado with a group of No Barriers warriors. The goal setting and teamwork connects especially well with veterans like Carrie Ann Grayson.
Having everybody push me from the bottom kind of makes you not think that you're going to fail.
Yeah.
So
there's a very nice smile on your face right now.
But yeah, like, I've never done it before. Like.
Army veteran Matt Burgess served tours of duty in Macedonia and Bosnia. He was medically discharged after being injured in Iraq. He says his life was in shambles.
Would it be safe to say after you came back you were lost?
Yes, sir. Everything I had previously known and relied on, I felt like had been stripped from me.
Burgess reluctantly joined Eric on an arduous No Barriers climb in South America. In the sheer agony of summoning a mountain, Matt learned that the ordeal really was a means of breaking away the emotional scar tissue that had formed around his heart.
I think most of us, when our hearts are broken, the last thing we want to do is open them back up again.
Failure was easier for me, and that's one way that Eric Weihenmayer has been so impactful, is he has helped me, in his words, to keep reaching.
Now, if you happen to
keep reaching, words that Matt now lives by.
God, boy.
He set up a charity called Freedom Fighters. He rescues and trains dogs to be service animals for other veterans.
Let's go. Heal.
Good. Cool.
And as for Eric, well, he keeps reaching too.
Getting out and the desert on this spectacular place, and then climbing this tower and standing on top of this incredible little boulder 500 feet above the desert floor, and listening out of all around me to the sound vibrations moving out through space. I mean, that's just the opposite of what I ever thought blindness would be.
I took that last shot.
So a journey of choice. You think all the choices that Eric Weimer had to make. Could you imagine at the height of being concerned what others think of you in, 15, 16 years old? What choices could he have made that would sent his life in a different direction? What do you think? I want to hear from you. What other choices could he have made rather than the ones he did? Could have given up. Why would he have wanted to do that? It's easier. Yeah, have the government or someone else just take care of me and live out my, what people could say, live out my pitiful life. Longing for the day when their eyes shut for the last time. Dan? Made a choices on a journey that would have sent him further away from accomplishing heights. I mean, who would imagine that someone who was blind could accomplish the ultimate heights on our physical planet? Only God can imagine it. We sit there and think, I don't know if I had the endurance to do it sighted. I don't know if I have the strength to do it sighted. I don't even know if I have the courage to do it sighted. How did he do that? He had to make a choice. Am I going to give it a shot? Or am I just going to sit back and wonder what it could have, where could my life have gone on this journey? Juan, you look like you had something. Yeah, and it's interesting because he makes some statements about, as he says, as a coming to be a blind person, he had to do what? He had to give up some things. What's that? Let go of his, he had to let go of his ego. And in letting go of his ego, he then was able to grab onto what? Other people's help that he could trust that would guide him to where he wanted to go. What other things, when you listen to this video, whether it was from some of the vets that had life-changing experiences because of him, because he wouldn't give up, how did this affect some of the vets that he works with? Inspires them. I wouldn't imagine I could do this. A reason to live, a reason to try, a reason to climb. Gave them courage. Yeah, takes away their reasons for giving up. And he talked about fear, didn't he? Do you remember what he said about fear? Ken? When you lean into fear, it loses its power over you. What do we tend to do with fear? Run away! Because we're scared. That's just the natural reaction, the fight or flight. But what keeps him from running away? And that when he is facing fear of having to climb a wall and not necessarily knowing where the next handhold is, he does what? He's got to do what? He's got to trust. Trust the people around him. And he says, and it's not just one-sided, is it? Did you catch that? Yeah, so now that I will trust, I let go of my ego so I can trust people, so that hopefully then they can turn back and trust me. So it's not just a one-sided. Now, this Eric doesn't sound like a person who is a woe's me kind of a guy, does he? Couldn't he be? Yeah, it would be easy to be woe's me. But he made a choice along the journey. So he says, lean into it. It loses its power. Leave go the ego. Let yourself trust other people to help you. So we have some questions that I want you to consider and reflect back to me. Why would I not lean into fear if it loses its power? Lack of practice. I don't know if I lean into fear that it'll lose its power. I think it's so big and so powerful that, oh, that doesn't make sense to me, does it? I am so afraid leaning into it makes no sense. Why else might we not want to lean into the fear if it loses its power? Yeah, lack in faith in the ultimate helper. Right? God says, I want to be there beside you. You think of that psalm in the song that we sang. If when I lost my way, what happens? He'll be there beside you. So if he's there beside you, what is to fear if the God of heaven and earth is walking with you through the valley of the shadow of death? What is to fear? And we just finished up our class on the Pentateuch, and one of the things he talks about in Deuteronomy is he goes, I want you to remember, I walk along beside you. And it's kind of like this parent-child just holding hands. Don't worry. Yeah, it looks like a big puddle, but you can do it. You ever remember doing stuff like that or teaching how to ride a bike? It's okay. You can do it. And the puddle's this big and their legs are only that long and they don't think they can. And when they jump, you know they're going to end up right in the middle of the puddle. But how do they get across? Your hand lifts them across. I did it. Yes, you did. Because your hand was in mine. And we forget that so often. Any other things of why I would want to lean, not want to lean into the fear? Dan? It
forces you to be proactive instead of reactive. It's easier just to react, and it's none of my doing. But you have to be proactive to lean into the fear.
So it's being controlled as opposed to taking control of what you can. Right? Jeff?
It destroys your comfort zone. It takes you out from a place where you're familiar with, and it opens and expands a new horizon, which in itself isn't fear, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, think of this, man. If he just thought about going to Mount Everest and all the obstacles it was going to take, that he could just hear all the different things that people have been challenged by on their climb to Everest. Why would he not look at that and say, the odds are so against me? And how oftentimes do we do that and look at the odds are so stacked against me and we give up on a dream? Give up on a desire because I don't think I can. But it takes us to say, I don't know if I can. But I'm going to try. But what if you fail? Then what? You can start over again and you say, hey, at least I tried. But we're so afraid of failing and what people will say because we tried something that, well, see, you would never do that. I don't even know why you would try. Because I wanted to try. I wanted to see what heights I could reach. But you never know unless you take the first step. Why would I not want to let people help me? Pride. What's that mean, pride? Stubborn pride. I'm self-sufficient. Why do we need to be self-sufficient? Pardon? Our ego. How self-sufficient were you when you took your first breath in this life? You weren't. You didn't even know you were taking your first breath. How self-sufficient are you as an adult in this life, as a student in your life? You need no one to do anything for you? When you're hurting, you don't want anyone to come alongside you? When you see others hurting, you don't want to rush in and put your arms around them? What is this thing about being self-sufficient? What is that? I can do it. I don't need help. I don't need your help. Lack of faith. Rick, what do you mean lack of faith? Yeah, so you're not only limiting yourself, you're limiting others to come alongside you to lead you to greater heights. So Eric had to allow other people to come in who wanted to help him lead him to where he wanted to go. I can't imagine going down the Colorado River and listening just with your eyes closed. Turn right, turn left, because we want to not just have a lamp unto our feet. What do we want? We want the whole thing lit up. I mean, you go down the highway now, they've got lights every 30 feet. And it's daylight in the middle of the night. Yes, We want a guarantee, which leads us to the title of the lesson, to be determined. That was the theme of this weekend for the teens, to be determined. So if there are some things that are to be determined, then we don't have a clear light. But what if there are some things that are determined that you don't even have to worry about, so that it is so determined that you can be so sure that no matter how you go to get there, you know you're going to get there? What would that be like if you knew you were going to arrive, but you could endure the journey? Wow. Because you knew you were going to get there. Why would I not want to trust? I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. Did Eric act like a person who was worried about people feeling sorry for him? Could people feel sorry for him? Man, I don't know what I would do if I went blind at 16 years old. I don't know what I would do if I went blind now. But wouldn't I have a choice? That wouldn't have to control me, would it? But I could let it control me, couldn't I? It's all the choices that we make on the journey. One of the vets said, when in his life, he says, failure was easier. How's failure easier? You're going to fail. You're a failure. You'll never be anything. Yeah, you don't have to do anything. And then you could just say, well, it's just the way it is. Is this the way you want it? No, I want it to be different. But no one's making it different for me. God's not making it different for me. Do you think Eric Weimer thought that as he's climbing these rock faces? That I prayed and I prayed that God would give me my sight back. I prayed and I prayed when I heard the diagnosis that it would somehow he would undo it, because I know he can. Yeah.
And we don't, that's the last thing we want.
Yeah, we don't want to be vulnerable, because oftentimes the opinions of other people mean a whole lot more than the opinion of God, who says, in spite of these things, I love you and you're precious. Juan? Yeah, so we're allowing other people to identify. We talked about, the coin where Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, God's to God's. We're made in the image of God, right? But how often we're limited by the image that we put on ourselves and the image we accept from other broken people, rather than going into God's word and saying, who does God say I am? He calls me a sinner. Am I a sinner? Yes, I am. But he also calls me beloved. And because he loves me, he sends his son to die for me so that I could be with him for eternity. And he cries out to me, come. So what will I believe? What will I choose? It's interesting, because in the Proverbs, we're told twice the same thing. And he was talking about this light unto your feet, the path that we take on our journey. There is a way that appears right, but in the end, it leads to death. Uh-oh. That means there are two paths, doesn't it? There's one path that leads to certainty, that leads to the place that God is calling us. But there's another path that leads directly away from it. How do we discern the two? What are those aspects in life that cause us to question? How can appearance be deceiving? How is the appearance of the right way deceiving? The right way can look very hard, and I'd rather go the easy way. How can appearances be deceiving? Dan?
Satan masquerades as an angel of light.
It looks like it's holy, righteous, and good. It's caring about people. It's not clear enough. I don't want faith. I want certainty. How else? We judge based on what people see. And Rick? Sure. Yeah, and that thing that, you know, the heart is deceptive above all things. There's this duality within us that it's that humanness of saying, yes, this is what I want, but what does God want? And there's that tension, and we have to be wise enough to be able to choose God's tugging on our heart. And Paul talks about how we see through a glass darkly, but what we don't know will be known. Jeff, you're... the path is fraught with obstacles. And then we have other people telling us to manage these obstacles. This is how you're supposed to live. This is how you're supposed to do it. This is how culture says this is right and how you deal with situations. Well, sometimes culture might be clearly in alignment with God. But what happens when culture is divergent from God? We have to make a choice, right? We have to say, is this God speaking? Is this God's will? Or is this culture's will? And am I willing to stand up for God's will when culture's will is going to call me all kinds of names because of it? If you read, I encourage you to read through Psalm 119 today, maybe the rest of the week. Just read through it. I mean, there's short little snippets that you go through all these different verses. But one of the things that when I was doing it, I was looking for certain things. Some of the things is what comes from a divergence away from God's path. And these are the things that the Psalms say throughout 119 is it brings shame. It brings selfish gain. It brings worthless things. It creates a callousness of heart. It causes stumbling. And throughout this psalm, the writer is continuously saying, God, I want to love your precepts. I want to love your word. And there's just like me in my life, I see times where, God, I'm trying to walk your path, but it's so difficult. And sometimes I can't see it. But then we're told what comes from walking on the path. He says, goodness and wisdom and understanding, firm footing, not stumbling, and peace. But no, there's going to be accusations. And he talks about, God, as I'm trying to walk in your way, the people around me are trying to sabotage me. They're trying to throw stumbling blocks in my way. They're trying to keep me from following you. And we see how the world can say, don't think that way. Don't think godly because that makes me feel bad because I'm not. And you're just judging me. No, I'm not judging you. I'm living differently from you. Well, that means you're judging me. No, I'm not. You're judging yourself. Because you probably know the way I'm walking is better. And you just don't want to do it. And he goes on to say, because of all these people who are trying to sabotage me, I know I will not be crushed. In this discipline, in this correction is in my best interest. He says, before I was corrected, I went astray. And he's praising God that he was corrected and instructed back onto the right path. Others will see God's love and compassion as you transform. And then the question's answered, so what keeps me from walking, or what keeps me walking this path? And the psalmist says, I celebrate God's promise. So what is certain from God? His promise. Is that to be determined what his promise is? No, his promise is determined, written in stone. I love you. I want you. I've created this world for you. It's destroyed and you're suffering because of human choice. But I'm going to renew you. I'm going to renew it. And you're going to be with me for eternity. Trust the promise. Walk alongside of me. Take your hand in mine. And I will lead you to those clear waters. I will guide you to those fields that are green. Trust the promise. And I will be strengthened against the accusations of what people have to say about me. I will ask for help, God. And I know you will guide me. I will ask for comfort, God. You will sustain me. At times I will feel crushed, God. And you will revive me. There's times I will feel dry, God, and you will fill me with all good things. Just help me to walk in your hand in hand during those times. But that path on the way to what's determined is yet to be determined, isn't it? Your path for the rest of the day, you might have an idea what the rest of the day is going to look like, but do you know for certain? It's to be determined when you step into the day with every foot into every moment. And with every foot in every moment, God says, I will be with you. Let me guide you in those moments. Forgetting the past because you can't change it, not fearing the future because you know what is certain, that he will be with us till the end. So do we know what will happen to us on our way to that which is promised? We don't. But we know what's promised. Can that be enough to keep your hand in the hand of God? His promise is certain. So what's to be determined? We're to be determined to take hold of that which Christ has already taken hold for us. We need to be determined. Trusting that promise is the only way. The journey to that place is yet to be determined. Paul says, I am not yet become what I know I'm going to become, because he's still in transformation. So are you. Be gracious to yourself on the journey. Satan wants you to be harsh on yourself and call yourself a failure. But you are not a failure because the journey is not done, is it? You have not failed, even though you may stumble. The path and the promise is set before us. Jesus, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, when I have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, what's the promise? I will come back for you. Do you trust that? He's going to come back sometime during this journey. And what's the promise when he comes back? He will take us to where he is. You know the way where I'm going. And like Thomas, many of us might say, Lord, we don't have a clue. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way. I'm the way because I am the truth. And I bring you life because I am the way to the truth, to the presence of God. I am the way. I am the truth. I am your life. And in Deuteronomy, God says, stay close to me because I am your life. And we have to not do what the Israelites did and look for other things that we think will provide life because culture says, oh, that's really living. I am your life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him. I hope as you leave today, you have a greater picture of the promise to which God is calling you. We don't have to wait to find out what our purpose is. What is our purpose? Why were we created? To be with God, to serve God, because we love God, because he's shown how much he loves us first. That's why you breathe today, is because you are loved by God, and he wants you for eternity. When that ultimate day comes and those trumpets sound, if you've been trusting in God, you can be assured of where you will be for the rest of your existence. But there's also a different path that you could take. And God lets us take either. And he grieves when we walk away from him in his light into his darkness. Be determined. Keep reaching, keep striving. And God will be with you throughout your journey. Let's pray. Our Father God, you are so good. And Father, we struggle so much with just accepting the goodness that you've placed in us because, Father, we make so many choices that aren't so good. But Father, we do thank you for the grace and mercy that you demonstrate through your Son, that we too, as we join him, that he will lead us to you. And we thank you that you will be with us every day, when our pillow rises from the, or our head rises from the pillow, and when it hits the pillow at night, we thank you that you are our shepherd. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need the prayers of the church,
great, my Lord.